This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
All right, y'all. Today I have a very special guest. I have a special treat. You know, it's kind of been a while since I've had an interview, and we are coming in hot. Okay, I have a Marcus with us. Marcus has some stories that really caught my eye, and so I had to call him to verify because I was like, is this true? Are you serious? And he was like, very, very serious. So can you take us to the beginning? You told me that Jeff had you furnish his entire apartment, and then something happened. So how did you meet Jeff? What was your relationship like? You said you guys were together for about 4.5 years, right?
Yeah, on and off. We took like a little break. It was more like 4 years, but yeah, we took like a little break. Yeah, I met Jeff online, and I actually met him, believe it or not, in the former state in which I moved. A long time ago, he messaged me on an app, and he was just a familiar face that I saw here again, and I messaged him. And basically, we started to chat. We went on a couple of dates. I actually met him. The first time I met him was on his birthday. So it was like a very memorable like meet up for us. So I met him on his birthday. We went out with his friends. I ended up spending the night with him. Nothing crazy happened, but we cuddled and talked and did all that. But we didn't have sex on the first night. We did not. But we did connect intimately. Oh, main reason being that he had rented a hotel room with one of his best friends, and they had invited me back to the hotel room. So not like trying to have sex with his best friend in the bed next to him. Like, it's just, I mean, you can't go that long without testing it out, but it just didn't happen that first night. It was more of like an intimate meeting of us like getting to know each other. It was his birthday. Just happy, good times. And then after that, we started hanging out pretty much every day. He would literally come over every day. And then he started to spend the night. And he lived far away. Mind you, this was not a small drive for him. Like, he was putting in effort, like an hour and some change each way to see me every day and back every night. So, yeah. we were together for a while. He worked in production, so he would be off for weeks at a time, and then he would be on for weeks at a time. And then sometimes he'd be on location that would be like out of state, so he would have to go for jobs. And it just kind of created a barrier for the relationship, especially if you're seeing someone, you're used to seeing someone every single day, and then you go 2 weeks without seeing someone, and then you go another 2 weeks without seeing them, and it just kind of like wears down on the relationship. And I think that's what happened with us. We just, after a couple years of, you know, that dynamic, it didn't work for me anymore. I felt like I needed more attention. I needed more time. I needed more quality time. And I did try to break it off a couple of times with him. And I did. I did break it off. And after some time, I think it was maybe like a year or so after we broke up, he came back to the town where I live now, and we reconnected. We went out to dates. We went to like some art exhibits. We went like did like fun things, like trying to just get that fresh energy back. So during that time, he was moving into a new studio space out of a shared house. Like, he was in a house for the longest, and he was renting a room in a house, and he was moving into his own studio space. And he didn't really have much furniture. Everything that was in the house was there. So he was moving into a two-bedroom apartment, and he didn't have furniture. Basically, he was renting a room, so the bed stayed, the nightstands and the dresser that he was using stayed. All he had was his stuff, which I helped him move, all of his little stuff in there. And then, of course, by that time, I had started staging professionally, and I had a storage space with, like, huge storage space with all this furniture. And he needed furniture, and I offered to, you know, give him some stuff since he was, basically, we were rekindling, we had been dating, it was getting serious again. He's spending money on dates. We're going to art exhibits. We just, you know, I'm thinking, oh, finally got my person back. So I literally We go to the storage space, and I let him choose what he wants. Like, literally let him choose. He points to this sofa. He points to this table. He points to this. He points to that. We put as much of it in the car as we can and drive it to his new place. Don't be a lover boy. Don't be a lover boy. This illness. But, yeah, I'm trying to take care of this man, trying to get him all set up.
Son, these were all, none of these pieces were from IKEA, correct? Like, these were all nice pieces?
They were all nice pieces. I want to say he did have one thing from IKEA, which was a desk. But most of it comes from all over the place. HD Buttercup, it would come from CB2, West Elm. Some of it I would thrift. Some of it I would get from, you know, vendors at flea markets and art pieces. And, like, it's just everything that I love. That's what I bought when I was investing into my company.
Say that the total value of the furniture was in the 5 digits range. Obviously, it was above a grand.
Yeah, I would say.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters' 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
I gave him a rollaway bed for his mom. I gave him an actual bed for himself. I gave him a couch. I gave him multiple rugs, which were not cheap rugs. Like, some of them were like cowhide rugs. I gave him his workstation. I gave him mirrors, like all accessories. What's that?
Rugs? How much do the rugs cost?
The rugs were, like, one of the rugs I gave him was just a nice rug. It was maybe like $400 or $500, and then the other rug was probably like $600. So it's probably like $1,000 worth of rugs in his house, not counting like the little rugs I gave him for like the small spaces, like his bathroom, his little, he had like a little foyer area, like where his closet is. And then he had like the kitchen rugs, and it was just, I gave him everything. Lamps.
Whose idea was this?
I want to say it was mine. Like, I offered it to him, but he might've suggested it too. I can't really remember. But either way it goes, I was more than welcome to, like, help him out. Like, it was, I felt good doing it because I thought we were moving in the right direction.
Okay. All right, Marcus, let's take it up a few notches. You staged Jeff's 2-bedroom apartment, and you told me after you staged it that he ghosted you.
Ghosted.
So how were you trying to reach him?
Through phone, through text. He would reply, but it would be like, it would be days before he would reply. Like, before, again, like I told you, like, we were dating regularly, seeing each other like pretty much every day again, and like, it was getting back to that same routine that we were in before. But yeah, all of that went out the window as soon as I staged the house. Like, literally that next week, just ghosted him, didn't reply to anything.
Okay, so for how long did you try to contact him?
I'm not like the type to like run after people. So I did maybe like on and off for maybe like a month and a half. Like, every week I would text, like, you know, trying to figure it out. Like, and then I would text something. I did text him like, I'm coming to get my stuff. Like, but I'm not the type to pop up. It was just more so like a threat to see like where his mind was at, but literally didn't reply to that as well.
I guess your texts were saying, weren't you first saying, when am I going to see you next? Like,
what's going on? When am I going to see you? That sort of thing. No reply for that. Then it's like, what's up? What are you doing? Why are you not replying to my messages? And it goes from that to like, okay, now you're just being disrespectful. Like, I helped you out. Like, what the fuck? And then it goes to like, okay, now I need to come and get my shit. Like, what the, like, how do you think that it's right for you to keep my stuff? Basically, doesn't reply to any of that stuff. None of that. Yeah, definitely read all the messages. Definitely had his messages on read so that I know that he received them. And so I'm pissed off about it. I make plans. It's right around that time. It was right around like August, September. I had a trip planned to New York to visit one of my best friends. And so I'm going on my trip to New York, you know, to just blow off some steam, let this whole relationship stuff go, like have some fun with my boys. And I go to a circuit party, and guess who I see at the circuit party?
You guys, like, I guess you lock eyes, or what the hell happened? You see him, what the hell happened?
Yes, so I see him. It's a Halloween party. My outfit is, like, it's sick. Like, it's, I look so good that I know that they were, like, sick when they saw me because I look so good. And he and his boyfriend at the time, mind you, this is just weeks later, he and his boyfriend at the time have a matching grandma outfits. They look ridiculous. Like, and I'm walking right in front of them, standing right in front of them, like, letting them eat it up because I look so damn good. My friends look good. It's like, yeah. So I didn't say anything to him because I know that he saw me. I mean, it was hard to miss me. So I just left it at that.
You know what? Like, it probably would have been so awkward. Like, because, you know, it's my impulse to think that you should have confronted him. But he would have lied. It would have been awkward, or he would have walked away. Then he would have clowned you to his man and said, this person is crazy, and none of that happened. Like, when I think about it, like, it was better not to say anything because it would have just been a very unfulfilling scene because
yes, sir.
Like he would apologize, which is what anybody in your position would want. You'd want an apology. No, he was going to double down and say, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, all kinds mm-hmm. of things. I paid for it. Like, whatever he was going to say.
Exactly. So I left it at that. And plus, I was looking so good that I didn't have to say anything. I already knew I didn't have to say anything. And then my friends were looking good, too. And they looked like they could have been my boyfriend, like, for all that. They were shirtless. One of my friends is, like, completely ripped. So it's just, like, it was just a good.
A good look.
It was like it to a moment, you know? I didn't have to do anything. And then I saw the look on his boyfriend's face. Because I'm pretty sure he probably showed him, like, unflattering photos of me or, like, some type of weird something. Just got the feeling.
Yeah, and if he didn't like photos, he was probably talking shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's nothing you can say. There's nothing he could say that night. Like, it was flawless. The whole look was flawless. I had people, like, just standing at me, watching me dance.
This is, like, a very dramatic breakup. Like, you stage his plays. He ghosts you. You see him with a new man. Like, do you think that he loved you and things just changed later? Or, like, what are your thoughts? Like, in hindsight, do you think he loved you and then in the end things changed? Because my personal opinion is he probably was embarrassed by his behavior. Like, he probably didn't have money, certainly didn't have a lot of it, and he was ashamed that he, like, was renting a room. And now he's in an apartment that he cannot afford to furnish. So he was just too embarrassed. And he felt like if he kept talking to you, maybe he would have to pay for it. And he didn't have the money. Like, basically, I don't think this was, like, a very premeditated. I think it could have been, like, a last resort. Like, shit, I really need money. I know that Marcus has a staging company. He has a lot of furniture. Let me see what I can get. But then it's also so cutthroat.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why do you have to just make it so obvious? Because I sent you episodes of somebody who was scammed.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you listened to those episodes.
Okay.
But, you know, in that story, the girl who scammed him blocked him immediately after she got her money. So this is similar. You were ghosted immediately. So it's just fascinating to me that they don't keep it going, like keep the charade up. They're just immediately, once they get what they want, they're done.
Yeah. And two, I think that I think that it may have been calculated because two reasons. One, clearly you already had a boyfriend when we reconnected. Like, clearly you already had a boyfriend. There's no way that you go from nothing to living with this guy in New York in a month. Like, there's no way that happened within a month. Like, clearly you guys had this going on before. But also, a friend of mine brought to my attention, too, that he may have been upset because a long time ago, he went through my phone while I was in bed. And normally, you know, like, he probably was looking for, like, cheating stuff and, like, you know, trying to see if I'm on apps or whatever. But I was actually talking shit about him to a friend. To a friend of mine.
That this happened.
Because he got upset about it. And I do remember that. I think that that's probably, that maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe he felt like he needed to get his lick back. But it's very childish if he did. Because I apologize for what I said in the messages, but that was like a year or so prior. So it had been like we had kind of like broken off and then gotten back together from then. We had just started back dating.
Would you ever stage another one of your boyfriend's apartments?
I don't know. I'll never say never, but I definitely won't be doing it in the same fashion in which I did before. Like, I'm not just giving you stuff. Like, I'm not just doing that. We have to have some type of, like, agreement, or you have to be some, like, official in some type of way. Like, I'm not overgiving, period.
I mean, I think what you should do is get the money up front.
Yeah, of course.
Like, if you're gonna stage, then get the money first.
Of course. But if it's like, if it's your boyfriend or something like that, then of course it may be a little bit different, is what I'm saying.
No, I'm saying get the money up first. Because they would have to pay somebody else up front.
Yeah, for sure.
So if they have to pay somebody else, they should pay you up front. You know, because realistically, it would be hard for you to forgive yourself if this happened again. Just if you were to do this again, I think you need to get full payment up front.
Yeah.
Preferably, it needs to be like your husband or fiance.
Yeah. Like it definitely wouldn't be like I'm just giving you stuff anymore. No, never that again.
So, are you a generous person in general?
Yeah, I mean, I'm an Aries, so we get money, and it's nothing for us. We'll blow a bag and get another one tomorrow. So it's not like money's not a big thing for me. It's always been here for me. When I need it, it's always, you know, I look at it like what you give, you get back. So even though he, you know, took advantage of me and took my stuff, over the past couple years, I've gotten it back tenfold.
So, which I'm so happy to hear, you know, how have your relationships with Bradley and Jeff, how have they impacted the way that you behave in your relationships, if at all?
Definitely vet everyone and like, on multiple levels, like definitely vetting everyone and like making sure this person paying attention to the red flags, all of them, and like not letting any of them pass by. Like I literally just had someone that a crazy that I let go. I was just recently dating this guy and I broke it off with him. We went on literally two dates. That's it. We went on two dates. I let him come and hang out in my house once. So I guess it's like 2.5 dates. But yeah, bro, I told him, I was like, after the third date, I was like, he just would always say things like, oh, I bet you have other guys, and I bet you, you know, just little insecure comments. And I was like, I can't deal with this. This is a red flag, and I see clearly that this is a red flag. So let me just not even waste any time with this guy and, you know, politely end the relationship or whatever this is, the situationship. And I did that, and he threatened me. He threatened to come to my house and fight because I didn't want to see him anymore.
Okay, so what did you say? I'm so sorry that happened to you.
I told him I was going to call the police. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I also told him, like, I'm not afraid. So if he wanted to come over, there are weapons hidden throughout my house, including a baseball bat on the other side of my front door. So if he wants to come over, I'm going to call the police, but there may be some damage before they get there. Because he said something to the effect of, like, which was trying to, like, bring it all the way back and, like, but we can talk about it. I'm like, wait, there's nothing to talk about at this point. Like, after you threaten me, like, there is no coming back to that. I don't even know how your mind would compute that. Like, you threaten me and then we're going to go out on another date? I don't think so. Like, it's never going to happen at this point. Once you make a physical threat, that's the end of the line. That's it.
So, you know what you getting tonight? You getting that just threatened dick. Okay. That's not makeup sex because I don't want to be around you anymore because you let me know that you're not safe to be around because you think it's okay to say something like that, so which you shouldn't at all. But then so early on in the relationship, they're letting you know that you're the doormat. They're letting you know that you're the bitch.
Yes, people, if you're listening, if you see a red flag, do not ignore it. There's something hidden behind that red flag, and it's really not what you want, I promise you. I listened to my intuition with that one, and I cut it off just in time. I can't imagine if I went out on a couple more dates with this guy, like, what he would have computed in his mind that our relationship was. Like, it was bizarre, to say the least. You know what? Mm-hmm. I take that back. Red flag with Jeff is that the love bombing. I've really paid attention to love bombing now. Like, before Jeff, I didn't even know what love bombing was. But love bomb, one-on-one, it was that situation. Like, I'm right now, like you say, like taking your time, that's one of the things that I do. I like take my time. I don't overcommit anymore. So if I don't innately want to see you tonight, I'm not gonna see you tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. And if you tomorrow doesn't work for you, then fine. And if tomorrow makes you mad, then goodbye. You know, so I think that being with those type of guys have really strengthened my boundaries and like made me pay attention to those like small things that people do and like the way that people make you feel, you know?
Well, that's the thing. It's like the term love bombing is so important because we finally have the language to explain and to teach people and to be aware and learn about and know about something that's been prevalent since the beginning of time. But we always felt that it was honest. We always felt that it was truthful. We did not understand it was strategic manipulation and it's done in such a way that you're falling for someone, and so you trust what they're saying and what they're doing when it's all a game and a ploy to control you. And what I love about love bombing is people typically get it right when they define it, whereas people don't know what gaslighting is. Like, people, they overuse gaslighting just like they overuse narcissist and narcissism. They throw those around in a way that's just completely inaccurate. But pretty much everybody hits the mark when it comes to defining love bombing. And yeah, it's really evil because I feel like if people were not love bombing, then a lot of relationships wouldn't progress because they would have time to really see if someone was a good fit for them versus being hit over the head like, you're so great. I'm so into you. I want to be with you. And then you just can't. You're like, okay, I guess I'll go for it. So yeah, so since Jeff, how long ago was Jeff and what has your love life been since then?
So Jeff, it was about 4 years ago, four like right before, right when pandemic hit, like that time. I actually met someone right after Jeff, and we had a good relationship. We just ended the relationship though a few months back, but we're still cordial. We're still nice. We're still friends. It just wasn't the right fit.
Okay, well, Marcus, I think you're the red flag. I think you're the red flag. I
How
think
though?
because you just be staying with everybody for 4 years and then it's over, like you can't get to the five-year mark.
I feel like around the 3rd year, 3.5, like if you're not at the stage where you're wanting to get married or you're wanting to take the next step, then there's definitely something that you need to like reevaluate in the relationship. That's just me. Like I feel like after 3 years, like guys should be pretty solid. And I feel like at my
Yeah.
3-year mark, we weren't as solid as I would want him to be with me. So I ended it. I actually ended the relationship and was like, I need to find something that's a better fit for me and something that feels like progression, you know?
You're a serial monogamous. Like, it's just fascinating to me. It's like 4 years, or it's like 4.5 years, 4.5 years, 4 years. I'm like, why can't you just chill? Like, you.
I try. People be kicking my door in. I'm serious.
I bet you're hot and sexy. Like, I haven't seen a photo of you, but I bet you're hot and sexy. So maybe, you know, the boys like what they see. But I don't know. I mean, I'll put it this way. I think everybody should be careful about how much time they're putting into something. You know, if it doesn't work in the end, of course, it could be an amazing, incredible relationship. But at the same time, I do think it's sad when people pump like 10 years into someone or more and then it just like blows up. I'm like, nah, that's too much. Like, we meet those people every day who met somebody at 18, then they split at 35 or 40, and it's like that's literally your entire life you invested into someone. And I don't know, I just think it sucks. And I just think at least you're like, you're not really young too, because I do think, I don't know why so many like teenagers think they're going to be the exception, you know, gonna like stay married. But yeah, just be careful about how much time you're pouring in just to like have to do it all over again, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I was like, the 3-year itch for me is like, that's it. Like, I feel bad if we're in this thing and we're together and we're comfortable, and then 3 years hits and we're still at that same, plateau, then it's definitely something that we need to look at and see, because I'm all about growing and I love like looking forward to the next stage in life, like the next move, the next thing. And I feel stuck with you, then it's not gonna work. And I feel like 3 years for me is a good time to figure that out before that.
Yeah. I think that everybody should know what the hell's going on by 2 years. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like everybody knows. Like, doesn't mean that people have to be engaged, but they know what the hell's going on. And I just think, yeah, right around year two, year three, you need to be putting in 5, 10 years. But is there anything you'd like to add? You were such a delight, such a pleasure.
Doing all of the things that I didn't do in my 20s. So, like, I can't see myself, like, jumping back into anything, like, all of a sudden. It's going to be a gradual thing this next time.
Okay. I love
no it. More hanging out every day. No more over my house every day. No more, you know, yeah. We need time. We need space. We need to think. We need to grow.
I have spoken to a few guys before, and they're like, I have to see you every day. And they're cut. Everything one of them is doing. Like, I want you to have something to do with your time, and I also want you to not want to monopolize my time, because I consider that, like, extremely possessive. Thank you so much. I hope you meet great guys from here on out, or just have fun, just live in the moment. Okay.
All right, bye.
Perfect.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.